I want to turn to Philippians chapter 4, just for the remainder, or at least a little time. Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to break into the chapter the words of verse 15. Apostle Paul is writing to this church at Philippi. He says, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing to God. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." And we're ending there just at the end, the words of verse 20. Let's unite our hearts together, just a short word of prayer as we come to his word. Father in heaven, we do thank thee, Lord, for what our ears have heard already tonight. We can raise our Ebenezer and say, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." And O God, we do thank the Lord for each brother and sister that has put their hand to the plough and not looked back. Lord, we're dependent upon thy grace as we would look forward. And we pray, Lord, we might see those words fulfilled. Thou wilt increase you and your children more and more. Lord, do it for Jesus' sake. Bless us, Lord, as we turn to thy word just for a few moments. Instruct us again by thy Spirit. And O God, we pray that thou would lay thy word on each and every heart. To that end, give us help from the sanctuary. Anoint us with fresh oil, we pray. For we ask these things in our Savior's precious name. Amen. I want you to come with me into the prison dungeon. There you'll find a man who was joyful, and there you'll find a man who had happiness about him. And you might consider that could be well nigh impossible. But when we come into this passage, that is where the Apostle Paul was to be found. He was incarcerated in Rome. He was facing probable death. Yet there's a joy about him, because there is a church who had remembered him. This church at Philippi had sent gifts unto him before, and now again they are found to be remembering Paul in this time of bondage. You see the words of verse 10, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again." He looked upon their kindly contribution as a fruit of the grace of God in the Philippians. A genuine proof, if you like, that they were lifted out of heathenism, that they had been lifted out of their selfishness, and into the blessed truth of Christ. We may wonder, was the name of Lydia appended to the note that came with the gift? Or indeed, the Philippian jailer, who himself was gloriously converted to Christ in the jailhouse, and who was to have the joy of seeing the rest of his family converted when Paul and Silas were among them. I wonder, was his name appended as well? Although those in Rome were known for selfishness, and those in authority would as quickly leave the prisoner to die of starvation, yet here were a people who were thinking about the one who had preached the gospel unto them, and who now himself was suffering. They are moved by love to God in Christ Jesus, for his word had changed them, that they now have a love for his people. They will not abandon him. They will, out of their slender means, cheer his sad condition. And as Paul comes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, of course, in thankfulness, and he gives them the assurance that as they had met his need time and time again, that God would repay them. And he reminds us of the words of the Savior that Paul quoted to the elders of Ephesus. "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Men and women, tonight I just want to leave the promise that Paul left with these Philippian believers in verse number 19. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. There is there the recompense. It doesn't matter how the economy is performing. The God of heaven is not affected or moved by these things. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the imprisoned apostle here can assure these believers in Philippi that the God of heaven would not forget their generosity, but that he would recompense them. For notice how he commences this verse. He says, "But my God," he is sovereign, sovereign God that recompenses. The God who knows all things about our person, who looks upon the heart, not merely the outward appearance, is the God who will reward his people and who is a debtor to no man. You consider what we read of the Lord in Mark's Gospel, chapter 12. Mark's Gospel, chapter 12. I just want to bring this thought or two to you. Verse 41. It finds the Lord in the treasury in the temple. It says there, "And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much." Verse 43. "He called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living." You'll notice there in verse 41, it's the Lord who watches what we put into his work. It's not the disciples. That's one reason why I believe it's good that there's numbers on our report tonight and not names. It's nobody's business what's against that number. I wouldn't want to know what anybody's given in the church. That's the Lord's business. Only the treasurer knows that number. You see, the Lord here beheld how the people cast money in. Not the disciples. And he could see the rich men cast in of what the world's terms would be larger sums of money. But it was little compared to a widow. A widow who cast in all that she had, and she cast in all because she was utterly destitute. That was her condition, yet she cast it all in. She hadn't got the abundance, but what she had by faith, she cast it all into the work of the Lord. God who noted that and recorded it in the annals of his word for all eternity is the sovereign God who knows our hearts tonight and is able to repay and more besides what we have given to him. We'll never be the worse off for giving to the Lord's work. And I put in record the way Andrew has already said, I thank God for the widow's mite tonight in my congregation, as well as those who have a greater measure of abundance with them. Dear child of God, understand that the impact of what Paul is saying here, he says, my God, but he isn't only the God of Paul, but he is our God as well. And the sovereign God who met Paul at the point of his need was able to do the same for these Philippian believers. All in the midst of that dark, dank hole of a dungeon, couldn't make the tents to earn a living so as to supply his needs, but his God still was able to meet him at the point of his need. And men and women, the God of the apostle is the God of Abraham who met him in his every need. He's the God of Elijah who bid him to go to the brook Cherith, and there in the midst of famine he commanded the ravens to bring the bread and the meat twice a day. You just think of that. Not only did he command his creatures, but he was to hinder their very instinct. The raven, when it comes down for the bread or the meat, it's not going to keep it, it's going to devour it. But God even controlled the instinct of the raven And it didn't take those things. It brought them as a carrier, and it brought them for Elijah's need. And yet those who were looking for Elijah, old Ahab, as they looked up into the skies and saw ravens with something in their mouth, they wouldn't have thought twice about it. That's the God whom we worship tonight. And that's the God who can still provide us at the point of our every need. He is my God, He is your God this evening. And when the water of the brook ran dry, the same sovereign God had a little Gentile widow woman who could sustain His servant, even though she was about to prepare her last meal. Oh, my friend, we need not concern ourselves about the words of any chancellor or doom merchant. When we have the sovereign God of the prophets, when we have the sovereign God of the apostles, when we have the sovereign God tonight of George Mueller, and of many, many a widow woman who can testify to God's faithfulness. But see also that the apostle assured of God's recompense was to mention the scope of it. He said, but my God shall supply all your need. There's no words of doubt there. There's certainty in them to this church. And whatever their needs were, God would be able to meet them and supply their every need. And it is brought out in the sense of these words. It could literally be said like this or penned like this. My God will fill to the full all your need. And if you want it illustrated, then it is seen in how the Lord supplied the oil for the vessels of the woman who was about to lose her children to the creditors. We find it 2 Kings chapter 4. You remember how she borrowed not a few vessels from her neighbours, and shutting the door she began at the bidding of the Lord's servant Elisha to pour out the oil, and to her surprise the oil kept flowing and the vessels kept being filled until there was not a vessel left to be filled. And so is the scope of this recompense that God is able to give to His people. Have you needs tonight personally? Had this church needs in Philippi? No doubt it had, as God's church does to this day. When you have no more wants, when you have no more needs, and we suggest that that will only be when we get to glory, then the supply will be shed, but not until then. How gloriously God gives to His people. A preacher, you might say, well, my needs are material, and so's the birds of the air. And you see what the Lord said about them, Matthew chapter 6. And the words of verse 26. And it simply says this: behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Your material, your needs might be material, but the Lord knows all about them. Look to the God who can supply those needs. A greater need than anything that is of material is a spiritual need. We needed to be pardoned. We needed to be forgiven, and God was able to supply that need through the cleansing power of the Savior's precious blood. There is a fountain opened up in the house of David for sin and for uncleanness. We needed a garment for heaven. God has only the best robe to put on those who turn to Him in repentance and faith, even the garment of Christ's spotless and perfect righteousness. Dear believer, you need reviving, quickening. What one of us don't? God is able to supply that need. He has said in Isaiah 44 and verse 3, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. Dear soul, whatever the need, that need of yours may be, my God is able to supply it. You'll see, secondly, the riches here. How can God supply your every need? How was this church at Philippi going to know the recompense from the Lord for their supplying the needs of the apostle? You know, there's more than one way in which a man can give to the work of the Lord. We are reminded, 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7, it says, every man according as he hath purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. There's three different types of ways you can give. You can give grudgingly, out of pain, really, it means there. You can give of necessity, out of duty. Or you can give joyfully. How does God supply his people? Is it grudgingly? Is it miserably? The manner and way in which he does it is not according to our poverty or according to our just deserts, but as our verse says, it is according to his riches and glory. He does it only as God can do it, and when we consider his riches, as the apostle speaks of them here, they are riches which are extensive. He's able to give abundantly above all that we can even ask or think. His storehouses are full. They never need to be replenished. His riches are above all. The hymn writer could pen those words. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. His riches are inexhaustible. And it is from those resources that he's able to supply the needs of every one of his people. Wasn't that illustrated for us? Upon the occasion where the Lord was to feed the 5,000, we read of it in Mark chapter 6. And you remember how, having given thanks and broken the bread, break the bread and divided the fish, the disciples there were told to distribute unto the hungry people. But what do we read concerning them? We read just a little short verse in Mark 6, verse 42. And they did all eat. They did all eat. Now we're told that there were, concerning that multitude, there were about 5,000 men besides women and children. There easily could have been double that number. Yet they did all eat. But it doesn't stop there. For the verse goes on and it says, and were filled. And I might suggest that it takes a great deal to fill some men. And not those boys are up here tonight, they're a bit gandry looking. But there's some of the rest of us are not that shape. But it takes a great deal to fill some men, especially so after a day's journey out into the desert. And yet it still says that they did all eat and were filled. Yet the riches of God's grace and provision, it was to see them filled, and it doesn't even stop there. For we also read that the disciples were to take up 12 baskets full of fragments that were left over. You see, his provision is extensive. His riches are inexhaustible to the extent that there are depths of the oceans to which none has ever gone. There are countless numbers of stars tonight that the astronomers have never even discovered. So vast are the riches of our Creator God, who is able to supply every need and even has provision for those needs not yet realized. That's the wonder of it all. He knows what your need and my need will be in 2 days' time or 6 months' time. And there's provision already for those things. But not only are the riches of Christ extensive, but they are eternal. You see, it says, according to his riches and glory, they're not only riches of what he has done, but what he can yet do. And there's none who can reckon what God is able to do, for with God all things are possible. There is no limit to his eternal riches and power. It is by such glorious possibilities that God is also to able to supply the need of all his people. They are riches that do not rust away. They are riches that the thieves cannot break through nor steal. They are his riches and glory. Dear saint, why then should we doubt God when we consider something of those eternal treasures and riches that he has for his people? And 1 Corinthians 2 and 9 says, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And in supplying our need, God will do it in such a way that will bring glory to himself. 2 Corinthians 4 and 15 says, all things are for our sakes. All things are for our sakes. God is ordering out all things in this world, listen, for the blessing and for the benefit of his people, for our sakes. And our affliction is but for a short time, and nothing to be compared to the glory that will follow. Tell me, have you not been a recipient of his riches in the past year? Has this church not been a recipient of God's goodness and blessing and riches in the year that has gone? And take comfort that he is able to do the same again. He giveth, and he giveth, and he giveth again. And if we are not receiving of his riches, then it begs us to look into our own hearts. And it begs us to scrutinize our walk before God and with God, for the fault most assuredly does lie with ourselves. There's one final thought, and that is the reason. How can we as his people see our needs met? How does God bestow his riches on his people, and why does he do it? Apostles able to give the answer in the closing words of our text. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The reason is all because of Christ, for in him is everything. He is the fountainhead of all blessing. And all blessings and riches and needs come to us by virtue of the merit of Christ. We don't deserve the least of the Lord's mercies, yet he is worthy of all, and it is because of Christ that they're led to our account. And Paul reminds these believers that they shall have everything through Christ and nothing without Christ. C.H. Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher of London, of course, who said these words, "He that trusts not the Saviour and prays not to him shall be like Gideon's fleece. When all around it was wet, the fleece was dry." There's a lot of dry believers about today because they're not found in the prayer meeting or in prayer. But he says, "The man who trusts God and blesses his name shall be like Gideon's fleece. When all around was dry, it was full of moisture." The reason we can expect every need supplied is because of our position in Christ. The man who is Christ is all things, but the apostle could say in another place, "All things are yours, for ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's." And because we are in Christ by faith, then there is power in heaven when we plead his name for our needs to be met. John chapter 16, the words of verse 23. "And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you," the Lord speaking here, "whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." The reason that our needs can be supplied is because of the purchase of Christ. It was at Calvary that the Savior gave his all. Though he was rich, yet he became poor, that we, through his poverty, might be rich. And because he finished the work, because he purchased redemption for his people through his own precious blood, then we have all things by Christ Jesus. And so, dear believer, it is imperative that we plead the merit of Christ, we plead the merit of his precious blood every day before God to meet and to supply our need. Lay hold upon God in Christ, and we have all, and we have more besides to supply that need. For God has said, Romans 8:32, "He that spared not his Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Dear soul, having looked to Christ, having depended upon him alone for salvation, then continue to look to him. Maybe I preach to someone tonight and you profess faith in Christ, but yet you think you can go on without depending on the Lord. You can go on your own way. The very best of plans of the wisest of men go astray. I implore you to rest in the Lord, to wait patiently in the Lord. For the psalmist, looking over a lifetime of service, could say this: "I have been young and now I am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. May God bless that wee word to each of our hearts tonight at this our annual general meeting for his own name's sake. Amen.